are the pros and cons of living in Northwestern Ontario? What are we doing well? What could we be doing better? Well, the Northern Policy Institute has the answer to these questions. Fresh off the heels of their third annual State of the North Conference, the Institute has plenty of findings to share, and some that might actually surprise you. Charles Sirtwell, President and CEO of the Northern Policy Institute, in our studio. Charles, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you again, by the way.
Good to see you.
Okay, so based on the report, is there an overall snapshot of what Northwestern Ontario is looking like these days?
So I started my talk quoting a song and said it's not the end of the world as we know it, but we still shouldn't feel fine. So I think that's the summary. Yeah, you might recognize the words.
I might recognize it.
Anyway, so overall things are not as bad as many of the politicians would like us to think they are, as they're out there kind of trying to troll for votes and convince us that they can do things better. Population is stable and going up. We're seeing a lot of
going up.
Yep, in some 3 of the 11 districts have seen population growth. We're starting to see some positive reaction to some of the immigration changes that the federal and provincial governments have done. And of course, the Indigenous population has been growing for quite some time now. They're much younger, and an even better news, particularly in the Northeast, not so much in the Northwest. And I think that's one of the things that the folks in Kenora talking last night should have been and did focus on quite a lot, which is we continue to see underperformance in terms of economic activity, being able to get a job and get a decent wage, particularly in the far Northwest. That's still a challenge for the Indigenous population in particular.
Yeah. So then with the other issues that you outlined, like the other big issues that you see affecting us here.
Well, I'm going to switch and go to the good news as
okay,
opposed to the bad
that.
News. How's that? Because couple of things that come out year after year, and so I was in this pre-interview yesterday, I was asked if there was anything that should have been a surprise, and I said there's nothing of a surprise to me because I've been doing it for 3 years. But there's always a surprise when I tell the crowd that medium income in Northern Ontario is higher than the rest of the province.
No way.
See, just like that, that's the response I get, and in fact that's what the data shows, particularly in the areas where we are short of people. So personal support workers make on average a higher than median salary than the rest of the province. People who drive trucks make a higher than average salary. We've got higher salaries in the retail sector, in the wholesale sector, in the warehousing sector, in the transportation sector, manufacturing, mining, heavy equipment. So the simple fact is that if you stay in Thunder Bay and Kenora instead of going south looking for greener pastures, you're actually more likely to get a job if you're a young person, and you're more likely to make more money than the person doing your same job in, say, Windsor.
Okay, so that is very, very surprising, and that's also good news.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we don't do nearly a good enough job talking about it.
Yeah. So okay, and that's part of our challenge too, isn't it? I mean, we have to be able to blow our own horns. We have to be able to say this is a fabulous place to live, work, and play.
Yeah, and we're pretty good at saying it's a great place to visit and play. The work side, particularly in terms of the available opportunities and the income you can earn, we're very bad at. You know, I did a little hit with TVO on Steve Paikin's show about a year ago, and I was talking to them about the price of a house and how you can basically you can get a house here for the price of a 900 square foot closet in GTA. And of course Steve's response was, yeah, but it's far more expensive to live up there. And I'm like, no, it's not. Gas is about the same. Milk, staples are all about the same. And incomes are higher. And he's like, no, they aren't. I said, yes, they are. So it's tough, right? And we don't go with that message often enough. And so folks who don't necessarily live here, and indeed the folks who do live here, still don't really understand just how great an opportunity we have.
So how do we get more people here? I mean, you talked about, like, in Northeastern Ontario, they're doing a better job with the new changes to the refugee and getting people to settle in the north, but not so much here. How do we get more people here?
Well, I think there's two fronts, and let's not forget that we've got people here who are still not participating.
Yes.
And we talked about that when we started, and those problems still have to be resolved. They're very deep, and they're going to involve a lot of focus. But in terms of attracting newcomers here, it's just simply an exercise of marketing the opportunities that are here for them. Right now, this week, I spent today will be third day in immigration 101/training for the rural northern immigration pilot that's coming along, and really it's an exercise in deciding where we want to focus our efforts, where do we want to market, how do we pick people who are likely to stay here as opposed to see us as a jumping off point to head for Vancouver or Toronto, and really it comes down to marketing the opportunities that are here, talking about the fact that it's cheaper to enroll your kids in soccer. In fact, there was a CBC reporter complaining about the fact that they couldn't get swimming lessons in Toronto. And I said, well, there's lots of communities in Ontario where you don't have a waiting list and it's actually cheaper. And by the way, you can get personal lessons. Not that I like to pick on CBC reporters, but no, she was talking about it on Twitter, so I just thought I'd offer some friendly advice.
And so, but to go back to one of the original things that we talked about here, I mean, the growing Indigenous population and the inability to find work and to make that a healthy part of the economy. What are we doing wrong?
Well, I think to a certain extent, we continue to have the, not to a certain extent, in a large part, it's continuing to be the residual effect of the residential schools and other kinds of things like that. It's a situation where in many cases, there's a lack of hope, and they're still looking for examples that they can follow, people who are welcoming. They call them allies now, I guess is the modern terminology for it. But we still have a situation where in lots of cases employers are a little nervous taking that risk. They're not as welcoming as they could be. It's certainly improving. And again, it's one of those things where the best way to kind of overcome those kind of racial tensions is to just get to know people who are not like you. And we've had some troubles making that happen, particularly in the Northwest. We're getting there, but way too slow.
Yeah. We have some really good education for the kids now, too. I mean, you think about DFC, we think about Matawa Learning Education Center, the Pelican Falls School in Sioux Lookout, and schools in a lot of the remote communities. I mean, education is key there, too, right?
And yeah, but the challenge, of course, is that we have all these great successes, both in the education field, the healthcare side, employment side. We've got some great young and not so young Indigenous entrepreneurs, but those stories don't get told. The headlines are about the latest crime, the latest challenge, the person with the addiction who's standing on the corner, and that's unfortunate. We don't spend nearly enough time talking about the positives and getting the communities to think about those things. Even for myself, the day I came for my job interview here 6 years ago, the headline in the paper was Thunder Bay, Murder Capital of Canada. That's not the kind of messaging you want in a community that has so much going for it the way that Thunder Bay does.
So the future then, I mean, like, I guess there are two scenarios. If we do something, this could happen. If we don't, this might happen.
Yeah, I think what we see right now is in many cases the economy goes along quite nicely all on its own, no matter what kind of foolishness the rest of us get up to. Because there are things to take out of the ground, there are trees to come down, there are things that we can build, there are skills that people have that other people are interested in paying for. I think the challenge we have is that that lack of confidence in ourselves reflects. And so as a result, when we look outside, it becomes a challenge to kind of market it. That being said, you know, we added a fascinating slide to the State of the North presentation this year that I kind of like to highlight. It's a comparison of participation and income for women versus men. How close are we to equity? And so we put the 11 districts on the slide, and then we put Ontario. And of course, the goal is to kind of be above and to the right of Ontario on the graph. The good news is half of us are. We're doing better than the province in terms of getting females into the workforce, both Indigenous and non-Indigenous. And in fact, in the Indigenous sector, female and Indigenous are far more likely to be in the workforce, earning almost the equivalent of men, particularly in jurisdictions like Manitoulin and Kenora. And that's good news. It means that we're having success. There are a couple of our communities and districts who still are down and bottom and to the left of the province, primarily around Timiskaming and that kind of thing. But in the Northwest, we're all at or better than the province in terms of that participation and that equity in the employment sector. And that's something we should be trumpeting and something we should be building on. And again, it was one of those things where I put up the slide, I talked about it, and the crowd looked at me with the head tilted to the side and eyes twisted and said, can that really be true?
It is.
And it is true.
And it is true. We need you in here to remind us of this very on a regular basis.
Every now and again, happy to come in.
Thanks a lot, Charles.
Good to see you.
Charles Sirtwell is the president and CEO of the Northern Policy Institute.